They're so kind to us. The warmth and the good spirit here this morning in church is a blessing to me and an encouragement to me. Thank you for the prophet's chamber. It is comfortable and it is warm because I wasn't expecting this temperature. I sent my daughter a text this morning and I said, the wind chill is -1. And she said, oh, Dad, that's terrible. But I'm inside, so I'm grateful for that. But thank you again for your kindness. Thank you. This is an answer to prayer for me. It's kind of like the triangle coming together. Who would think that there would be two people outside of Chicago from Akron, Colorado? So we got that side of the triangle. And then we are here in Amboy, Illinois, with a precious brother and his wife that have been coming and going into the southern point of the triangle, which is the Gulf of Mexico, and we would call it Bon Secours, Alabama. And I don't know how we all got to where we are, but we're where God wants us to be. And I am so encouraged with that, that we can see that the Word of God not only goes around the world, but it goes into our own places where we live and minister to people. Because as you saw maybe in this morning's little demonstration there about the ministry, the slides, PowerPoint, that ministry is people. And you and I are around people frequently. So it's a blessing. And to visit a little bit yesterday with Jessica, and we remarked a little bit. Her dad, we're trying to figure out where her dad and uncles and everybody are in line with me being in high school, and she made me feel old when she told me her dad was, what, 5 years behind, I think, of me in graduating from high school. But what a blessing. God uses people everywhere, so thank you so much for that. The ministry the Lord has allowed us to have, I'll give you just a little bit of that. You might have got a good dose of it in Sunday school, but the ministry is reaching foreign seafarers around the world that come to the port of Mobile, Alabama, and Panama City, Florida. So the mission field really comes to us. And that has been a blessing for over 15 years now. The Lord has allowed us to serve out of Fisherman Baptist Church in Bon Secours. So we will talk more about that. I'd like to develop, maybe if you would please come back tonight. There is a saying that that we use that makes the ministry that we are allowed to serve in very effective. It's called find a need, meet a need, and build a bridge. So that's our ministry theme. The bigger part of that is planting the Word of God in the hands and hearts of foreign seafarers. But in order to do that, you have to find the need. And the greatest need normally is spiritually. We all have that need. There are some emotional needs that are necessary to be met. There's physical needs, but all those are for a purpose, is to bring men and women, boys and girls, in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift that we have with salvation in Him. So we wish to discuss that a little bit further this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and I guess I would title this message, The Emotions of Missions. The Emotions of Missions. If we are going to be reaching people who have the greatest need, which is not spending eternity in hell, we're going to have to be emotionally involved in that. And as a church, certainly you have that desire. And there's some folk possibly sitting under the Word of God this morning who are trying to figure out if we're real or not. Is the message real? And so many times, they'll not know that the message is real unless they see us being real. Right. And we're going to talk about that this morning as we delve into this. So 2 Timothy 3:1, I would have you to know, you probably know this verse, but it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we are living in those times. And if you study or spend some time with that word perilous, it has the idea of strength reducing. And certainly, that is the case of the biblical, Bible-believing churches nowadays are under, I would guess, a time of reducing, shall we say. That is not needed. It's difficult. It's dangerous. many times, especially in your other foreign countries. The world system, and especially we are seeing in America the last few years, has become more depraved, more demonic, and more divisive than ever before in the past. And I will tell you, the author of that is someone named Satan. His plan has never changed. From the time that God put him out of fellowship with him in the throne, his desire is to have Christian children of God be discouraged, depressed, and despondent, and to be fearful. And we know in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And sometimes we get so strong in our messages, we forget that it must be delivered with some love. And I hope to see you use the Word of God this morning to do that. So this strength-reducing time that we're in, myself, God has helped me to know that I need to be more passionate. I need to be more bold. And I need to desire even more to get the gospel to those dying without Christ. And in order to do that, I must have some emotion. I must love Him more than I did yesterday, because we have all these things pushing us, trying to determine if we're the real deal and the message is real. So, if you would, did I tell you to turn to Luke chapter 10?
Yes.
Okay, let's look at verse 27. And this is a dialogue between our Lord Jesus Christ and a lawyer, and he was questioning Christ, and he said, verse 27, he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy..." Well, let's back up a little bit. This lawyer is tempting him or trying him to ask him some things. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live." So my feeling is, if we are saved, Bible-believing people, if we are not, listen to me, if we're not deeply in love with God and our Savior, we will not love people. And if we don't love people, we're going to have a real tough time loving missions. Because that's what missions is, just loving people. And I think so many times, and I will back up, I was saved January 13th, 1979. In Lakewood, Colorado, and a pastor came by on visitation, knocked on my door, and wanted to know if I was to die that day, would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? And I said, "It's no problem for me. I'm going to hell." I was a lost, disillusioned, religious boy. Well, not really boy. I was 25 years old. But he said, "You don't have to." And I said, "Really?" He said, "No. Could I come have a few minutes to come in and I'll tell you why?" So every time I asked him a question, he just took the Word of God and opened it up and added, opened to God and answered the question I had. Well, how can the Pope keep changing his mind? He flipped in and he says, 1 Timothy 2:5, there's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Every time I had a question. So it's the Word of God that does the work, folk. But it doesn't do any good. If he didn't have compassion, if he didn't care to come into my home, to give me the gospel, where would I be? I would still be lost in my sin. I knew I was headed to hell. There was no way I was good enough to get to heaven. Well, that's not what's required. What's required is believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Doesn't care what country you're from. Doesn't care what race you're from. He doesn't care how you look. It is a heart-to-heart thing. So anyway, that happened to me. But if we're not concerned with our neighbor or the lost persons we come in contact with that need to be saved or help the person down in the ditch of life, and believe me, there's a lot of people in the ditch of life nowadays. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. We need to be intimate with the ultimate, because the focus of Christ and others, He gave us a ministry, okay? He gave us a ministry. And many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's the key part. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's a division. There's someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We do know Him. Ken Craige comes from the trash heap of sin. And now I have the blessed assurance of spending eternity in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ over here. But somebody had to have light and somebody had to have salt to share with me. The salt hurts because I was trying to live in my righteousness, realize I didn't have any. But the Word of God came and comforted the wound, and Christ came in. And so we need to share that with people. And part of that, I'm going to try to, by God's grace, share with you a little bit of my heart this time, because witnessing is uncomfortable. Okay? Sharing the gospel is not easy. I go door knocking on foreign vessels that come to our port. I don't even know who I'm going to see until I get up that gangway. Might be Russian, might be Ukrainian, Sri Lankan, whatever. It's scary sometimes, especially if they're Muslim from Turkey. They don't like us, but they still need the gospel. So I want to read you a quick illustration here, and I'll try not to preach Filipino style. If you've ever been in the Philippines, you know that I got to go there twice and visit some seafarers that I met through the port of Mobile. Got to go to visit some churches in the area. And I said, "Pastor, how long would you like me to preach?" And he said, "Until you're done." I said, "Okay." I said, "But is that 30 minutes, 45 minutes? He said, "Sir, until you're done." So I will not preach Filipino style and take 2 hours. Okay, I will be respectful of your time. But I do have some interesting things I want to share with you. Missionary Milton Cunningham was flying on a plane from Atlanta to Dallas. He happened to have the middle of the three seats on one side of the aisle. To his right, sitting next to the window, was a young girl who we know would have what's called Down syndrome. She began asking him very simple but almost offensive questions. "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" "That's what you're supposed to do." He said, "You're correct. You are one smart girl." He says, "Mister, do you smoke? You better not, because it can make you die." He smiled, and just before takeoff, another man took the seat on the aisle and he began to read the in-flight magazine. And the little girl nudged Cunningham, a missionary, and said, "Mister, ask him those questions." "Oh, sure." He really was uneasy with that one, and he finally told her he didn't want to, but she kept poking him and saying, "Do it, do it." Finally, Cunningham turned to the man seated next to him and said apologetically, "Sir, I don't mean to bother you, but my little friend here wants to know if you have brushed your teeth today and whether you smoke or not." The man looked startled, but he smiled at the girl and took her questions in stride. As the plane lifted off, the girl nudged Cunningham once again and said, "You forgot to ask him if he knows Jesus. Ask him. Ask him." So he interrupted the man once again. "Now she wants to know if you know Jesus." The man could have responded like he had to two previous questions with a smile on his face and a chuckle in his voice. And he almost did. But then the smile disappeared and his expression became serious. "You know, in all honesty, I can't say that I do know Jesus. It's not that I don't want to, it's just that I don't know how to know him. I've always wanted to become a person of faith all my life, but I haven't known how to do it. And right now I'm at a time in my life where I really do need faith very much." As the plane soared through the skies between Atlanta and Dallas, Milton Cunningham, the missionary, listened to the fellow talk about the brokenness in his life and shared his own personal testimony. He explained how to become a person of faith and he sweetly presented the gospel message. All the while, the girl sat there nodding and smiling from ear to ear. She leaned over to the other man and said, "Mister, you should do it. You should do it." The man responded and was wonderfully born again. Yes, God used a little girl with a brave heart to prod Cunningham to ask a fundamental question that all of us should be finding ways to communicate everywhere and anywhere. Do you know Jesus? So I thought that was a good illustration of the simplicity of sharing, but the emotions involved in that. There's something to be said for that. So I think you would agree with me that life leaves people stolen. Their innocency is gone. The morality seems to be stolen. The family units are broken many times. And simply knowing right from wrong has become more difficult through this time. So many of us have been or will be stripped of their hope, their dignity, their desire to better themselves. Many are wounded by the flesh, past mistakes. Hello? Past mistakes. Those can be corrected. Those can be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to be remembered again. God says he hides those between the shoulder blades. I dare you to see what's behind your shoulder blades. It's impossible. Okay? So many times people hurt others. Our Lord gives us a great illustration in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses, not verses 27 on, but that's just the point that we must love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, everything that's within us. And we'll look at verses 31 through 36. We'll get through this quickly. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Father, as we come this morning as a group of folk here, thank you for loving us completely and fully. Anything that's said today, Lord, I want it to be said because it comes from you. There's nothing that needs to be seen, heard, said that is not truthful, loving. And Lord, would you use the message this morning to help someone? Maybe there would be someone here that is not sure that heaven is their home. The price has been paid. Help them to come to the knowledge of understanding that. And for those who are saved but not really confident in the gospel message, would you help them? And then for us that have the responsibility, may we be more determined now to serve you until you come. So bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse beginning in verse 30. This is an account in Scripture that our Lord Jesus Christ talked to this man about, and I enjoy it. Verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Verse 36, and this is the question. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell upon the thieves? And this is a smart aleck lawyer. Answered, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. So there is an account that we see where the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful story to get into the mind of this guy. It's serving people or others. And he gave some illustrations that meant something at that time. Number one, people looked on him. And if you will look back in verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And I have titled this, The Proud Priest, the Religious Crowd, the Formal Religions. They have no relationship with Christ. They look good on the outside, but there is nothing to offer in the inner man. And that's they are all over. That's religion. Look good on the outside. Have nothing to offer the inner man. Formerly, 2 Timothy 3:5 says, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Unable to meet the need of the man in the ditch. This guy that had been robbed, stripped of everything he had, laying in the ditch. And I can see this religious, proud priest walking by, looking at him, and he passes by. Why? Because that guy didn't have anything to offer their religion. He doesn't have anything. How's he going to bring money in? How's he going to do his good deed? He's in the ditch. He saw him and passed by on the other side. Look at verse 32. And likewise, a Levite was at that place, came and looked him on him, and passed by the other side. And I determined this as the legal Levite. Okay? A worker of God. He served in the temple underneath a priest, his religion, serving there. Doing the business of God, but without the love of God. The legal Levite. I will read another illustration here. I saw him in the church building for the first time last Wednesday. He was in his late 70s with silver hair and a neat brown suit. Many times in the past, I had invited him to come. Several friends had talked to him about the Lord and had tried to share the good news with him. He was well-respected, an honest man with so many characteristics a Christian should have, but he had never received Jesus Christ as a Savior. I asked him a few years ago, have you ever been to a church service in your life? We had just finished a pleasant day of visiting and talking. He hesitated. Then with a bitter smile, he told me of a childhood experience he had had some 60 years previous. He was one of 11 children in a poor inner city family. His parents had struggled to provide food with little left for housing and clothing. When he was about 10, some neighbors invited him to a worship service with them. The Bible class had been very exciting. He had never heard such songs and stories before. He had never heard anyone read from the Bible before. After class was over, the teacher took him aside and said, "Son, please don't come again dressed as you are now. Remember, we want to look our best. When we come worship the Lord," he stood in his ragged, unpatched overalls, looked at his bare, dirty feet and said, "No, ma'am, I won't ever." And he didn't. There must have been other factors who have hardened his heart so, but this experience formed a significant part of the bitterness in his heart. I'm sure the Bible teacher meant well. But what if she'd understood the teachings found in the second chapter of James? What if she had put her arms around that dirty, ragged little boy and said, "Son, I'm so glad you're here. I hope you will come every chance you get to hear more about Jesus. I pray that I might ever be open to the tenderness of a child's heart, that I might never fail to see beyond the appearance and behavior of a child to the eternal possibilities within." Yes, I saw him in the church house for the first time last Wednesday. As I looked at that immaculately dressed old gentleman lying in his casket, I thought of that little boy of long ago, and I could almost hear him saying, "No, man, never." And I wept. Legal Levite lost his burden for people. And I will submit to you, folks, sometimes we in church lose our burden for people, especially those that are different. It's a living soul. I am 71. I grew up in a time that that the outward adornment that so many people have now causes me to look and say, "That's why would you do that?" But we need to get past that. That's not Christ. Christ did not call us to change their appearances. There's a need in the heart. And I ran into a young lady in Louisiana at a supporting church a few years ago. And I was talking about this with her. And she said, "Do you know why we do that? Do you know why we do those things that we do?" That to me, as a conservative boy from Colorado, and even more conservative from southern Alabama now, she said, "Do you know why we do that?" I said, "No, I would love to know." And she says, so many times, she said, "This is my instance, but we do that to see if you will accept us. If you will talk to us. If you will be kind to us, or do you just look at us, roll up your nose, and walk on by?" She said, "If you care, if people would just show that we're different, maybe we're doing it for the wrong reason." But she said, "For me, I do it to see if people will care. Because if they care, I'll let them into my space." That's what she called it. "If I know you really care, I will listen to what you have to say." Very, very good for me. So if we don't love people, we can't love missions. Okay? If this man was unwilling to meet the need of the man in the ditch, again, he looked on him and passed by the other side because he judged him by what's on the outside, not what God had placed on the inside. God has placed in us, all of us, a vacuum, wanting to know what is life really about. When we talk to these men from other countries, "Why am I here? Why would God do this to my country or being bombed? I haven't seen my two children in a year. I don't know if they're alive or not. Why would God do that?" It takes time. It takes care. You have to be able to communicate with them. So, but if you would, look at this. We see a serving Samaritan, beginning in verse 33. But a serving Samaritan, a certain Samaritan, I call him a serving Samaritan, okay? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. Okay, so here we see a serving Samaritan looking on him. And you must remember that Samaritans were outcasts. Is that right? They were Gentiles that may be intermarried with a Jewish person, but they were outcasts. The Jewish people wanted nothing to do with them. We just saw that example of two religious, probably Jewish men, that just walked by. They looked on him, didn't have nothing to offer him. Here's a serving Samaritan. They're outcasts. They were disdained. They were unliked. But he, taking time through his journey from Samaria to wherever this was going to, he came up, and I like this, he came to where the man was in the ditch. He was without hope and without help. He came up to him, and I can picture this in his mind. He came up to him and looked at him real close. Didn't pass by. He got close. Sometimes, folks, you and I, if we're going to really help people find their way to the gospel, we're going to have to put some of our mindset aside and get up really close to where these people are. Befriend them. Love them. Come to where the man was in the ditch without hope. He came up close. And if we're going to do that in this, and we're talking about missions at home, and we happen to be at home, and we're able to go out to the world from where we are, but you folk are going to have the opportunity to see some people I will never see. You're not going to have the opportunity to go on the vessel and see a man from China who is saying Would you please bring me your word of God? I've been praying for it for 2 months. What would happen if I just walked by that opportunity? That would just prove to this man that you can't trust God. He'd been praying for 2 months. The man broke down weeping when he received the Bible in his language. It's precious stuff. But up close, are we willing to do that? So, we're going to spend a little bit of time here. Said he saw him and had compassion on him. Do we have compassionate eyes and hearts? That's a question for you, a question for me. Do we have compassionate eyes and hearts? Are we hard? Are we cold? Even myself, 15 years in the ministry. After a while, I have a tendency to get cold. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are some days I don't want to go. But I picture in my mind some elderly ladies that send me $20 a month. They can't go. Am I going to be faithful? Are you going to be faithful? Do we see the need? Do we see the hurt? The wounded, stripped, and stolen? Think about the Samaritan woman, okay? Divorced and married how many times? Five? Jesus Christ never judged her a bit. He just sat down and visited with her, talked with her, found out what her need was. This man showed me all things that I never knew. Wow. How about Mary Magdalene, demon-possessed? Christ ministered to her. How about Matthew, a corrupt government worker? Woo! You have the IRS agent come to your house? Are we going to treat him kindly? Probably not. But that's the kind of people that our Lord Jesus Christ had a ministry to. And some have compassion. Making a difference takes compassion, takes emotion, the motion of missions. Am I loving God as I should, according to Luke 27? If I am, I'll be sensitive, looking for those in need, going where they are, and caring with compassion, not out of duty. A lot of illustrations I could give you there. With the sake of time, we'll not do that. If you and I are to be ambassadors for Christ and obedient to the desire of our Savior's heart, we will be looking for people in the ditch of life. Okay? I'm like your pastor. I have a little problem with some of the terms that we use. Soul winning. I am not a soul winner. Jesus Christ wins the soul. But I am a word planter. And I'm a waterer. And it's God's business to draw the net. In a nautical term, fishing term. But an interesting thing I see about this. This Samaritan is showing that he's real. He's dealing with a guy that probably is not his religion. A guy has nothing to offer. He has nothing. But it's interesting if you will look in verse, I think it's verse 34. He labored over him. It says he bound up his wounds. That became personal to him. And nowadays we would want to wear gloves, right? Bodily fluids. Come on. This guy, it became personal. There's wounds that happen to people on a daily basis. And we'll not develop that, but you know that. It says he pouring in oil and wine. Okay? He invested some healing balm. And that is so important. Invested some healing balm. Sometimes that's meeting some needs physically. In this man, it did. In our day and age, many times the balm, that the balm of Gilead, that we will help with a broken person, a discouraged person, may just be a kind word. And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. There's lots of instances of that. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Wine is sustenance. And I would tell you that is the Word of God. We will never make a difference in a person's life until we get them in contact with the Word of God. We can show them the love of Christ. But the thing that converts them from a place of being lost to a place of knowing and trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That is what makes the difference. I find something interesting. He gave what he had. And I will tell you, church of not 200 people, little is much when God is in it. Okay? Little is much when God is in it. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Don't dwell on the means. Do what you can. This guy had what he had with him. He was ministering to this man with what he had. Let us not worry about how we're equipped. God equips each of us differently. Let's just be willing to use what we're equipped with. This guy had it with him, okay? Also, it says he set him on his beast. He gave him a boost up. So he helped him, he looked on him, he treated some of the things, and then he determined, I'm going to give him a boost up. Now, I will tell you, and this, as I get older in life, I think sometimes people just need a call, a visit, and some encouragement. The lost sinner who is contemplating, like Francis on our PowerPoint this morning, he was going to commit suicide. He was going to commit suicide. Sometimes they just need some encouragement and a call. Care. Interesting, he says it kept him upright in the saddle, being born and raised out west and on a horse. If you're really weak, somebody needs to go alongside you to keep you propped up so you stay in the saddle. Sometimes that's what we do in life's journey. If you have a person on your heart and your mind that you're wanting to see come to Christ, sometimes you're going to have to walk that wounded person from the place of being hurt so bad, keep one hand on him, and help him stay up in the saddle until that person can come to the place of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. They just need a little help. Again, he gave up his ride and he walked alongside a hurting guy that couldn't make the trip alone and brought him to a place of rest. If you will see, it says, and he took him and he brought him to an end and took care of him. Okay? He gave up his ride. And by laboring over him, I see he got involved in his recovery. He took care of him. It took some effort and it took some time. Remember, this guy is on a, I'm thinking he's on a business trip. And he sees a guy beat up and he stopped. He had business to do. He had a mission. He was going from one place to the other. And he took time to stop and help this guy. How many times do we get in a hurry? I get in a hurry. That is just my nature. And I fight it constantly. But if we'll listen and we'll see some things, God will give us a place where we can get involved in the recovery of someone that needs some help. It took some effort. It took some time. I would tell you, be available and be patient. Okay? Be patient. It takes time. Let God do His work. And after looking at His need and laboring over His condition, verse 35, I see Him left cared for. Look at what it says in verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And I will tell you, there was a cost involved. There was a cost involved. He gave the keeper 2 pence, which is about 2 days' wages. And if more were needed, he said, I'll pay you when I come back. So he's going to get down to the end of his business. He's going to return there, and he would pay more upon his return. This is pure conjecture. I can't say this in Scripture. But I think he had a plan on taking that guy back with him to Samaria. Never ask a religion. Guy didn't have anything to offer. He just paid. It took some cost. He cared enough. He did that. And I'm wondering if maybe this Samaritan wasn't a disciple of that lady at the well where the gospel was shared in Samaria. Remember all those guys? come and see, come and see. And the men from the city came. And she witnessed to them. And certainly some of them trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Could this not be the result of someone else coming to Christ? Sharing what Christ had done to him? Well, he told me everything I did. It's the greatest news I ever heard, January 13th, 1979. I still haven't got over it. We should never get over that. It's just amazing what God would have done. And I really, that's just a side note. But I think when he found him in the ditch, he spent time, costing money, reconciling to the world, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It's going to take an authentic burden. Okay? Don't fake it. Don't fake it. Don't do it out of duty. Do it out of love. That's what verse 27 is talking about. We love them to Christ. We spend time with them. We need to take off our blinders. The harvest is ripe. Okay? Reconciling the world to themselves. Restoring those hurt by the world or by other Christians. Okay? They're in a nautical term, and we use it a lot down in Alabama, is called a castaway. Okay? There are some people that used to sit in church. They got hurt. Your ministry, God may have equipped you not to be a strong evangelist, but maybe you're really good at using healing balm. And maybe God puts that person's face and that name on your heart. Maybe they need a visit. Maybe somebody just needs to love them back to the fellowship and spend some time with them. Is that not worth it? Of course it is. Of course it is. So are you willing to sacrifice some comforts or toys to reach someone or support a missionary going where you can't go or don't want to go? I will tell you, as a well-supported missionary, your prayers matter most. Your prayers are what matter. I will tell you, when it comes to financial needs, if churches are praying for us, it opens the windows of heaven. Our ministry. We have all these years, we will not accept any money. We will not accept money. We will not accept donations. And I've almost gotten fight with guys. Why will you not let us donate? I said, because ours is a ministry of giving. It's like salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Please take it. So I will tell you, as you think about missions, foreign missions, missions here in the jail, other places, I will tell you it's prayers that matter most. Pray. 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 Are you willing to sacrifice just a tiny bit of what our Savior did for us? And I will end it with this. I will tell you our salvation was a tremendous cost that we can never repay. But one thing that we can do is live an obedient Christian life. Just live a thank you life. Lord, I'm going to serve you because I really appreciate my salvation. It's not that hard. But it's going to take some time. It's going to be costly. God is going to put people in your path that are without help and without hope. That is not an accident. Please don't walk on the other side because we're in a hurry. They don't have anything to offer. They're not like us. Well, how did Jesus Christ look upon me? When he brought the gospel, that was the first time I had ever heard the gospel. I was ready. I was prepared. He sent somebody who later on turned out to be my father-in-law. I married his daughter. That was the pastor that came. But he came because God told him to. He was obedient. And he found somebody that had a need. Met a need. Build a bridge. Don Kittle made an impact where somebody was in a ditch, January 13th, 1979, and a Filipino guy by the name of Ryan Palma in Philippines established a church because he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior in Mobile in 2014. All of that is to God's glory because somebody had compassion, making a difference. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father.